adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest is Nikki Hayden. Nikki is the MotoGP Rookie of the Year, or was, in 2003. We're talking about, it says Superbike Champion. Oh, that's AMA. That's a different thing. But basically, remember we were talking last week?
Yes.
The guy races what I would call Formula One motorcycles.
Amazing.
The top of the line in Superbikes. Not the not on the dirt, on the track. But it's a sport that's probably bigger in Europe than it is here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In Europe, it really goes off, just like Formula One over there.
I've said this many times. We're assholes, Americans. When it comes
many times, you've said exactly that.
No, but when it comes to motorsports, we got all these tards that are into NASCAR. Like, NASCAR is huge, and you know, like drag racing, funny cars. And
that's all
that
just
stuff.
Like other like primates being held sharp, you know, shiny objects being held in front of them.
It's just drunken, slack-jawed yokels who just jump on a bandwagon. The thing about
I
it
think
is,
it's
just retards. It's tards
noises.
Who are looking at shiny things, at lots of colors.
Yeah.
The Grand Prix motorcycles, as I'll call them, are really, this is the creme de la creme of motorcycle racing. This is when you watch the footage of this stuff, sometimes they just show the footage of it, and they just put some classical music behind it, and they show everyone sort of dropping in. You know, when they go into the corners, everyone's dragging their knee.
You're dragging your knee at 180 miles an hour? Or what?
Yeah.
What is on your knee?
Well, we got plastic, so... It's all right, then it's okay.
It's plastic. I wish I'd known.
But when you start dragging your shoulder, that normally hurts. So try to, know, that normally means you're down. So
it's and then it starts raining, and they just sort of go on. I mean, now instead of they're not really dragging their knee, they're just catching part of the shin on the ground. Stop me if I'm wrong, but when it starts raining, it slows down a little bit, and they don't lean quite as much, but they're still leaning over.
Amazing. That's
yes,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah, believe that. Sure.
And then they go across the finish line at 130 miles an hour, and they pop a nice wheelie up to celebrate or stand on top of the gas tank or something. But I don't think there's any vehicle, and again, you can stop me if I'm wrong, Nikki, I don't think there's any vehicle that gets you around a course any faster than these bikes. I don't know. I mean, the only competition would be maybe a Formula One car or possibly even like a go-kart or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Is there any – did they do any testing that way? Have they ever done any comparisons?
I'm not sure. We'll have to check the record books on that. I'm not – to be honest with you, got to
– I couldn't see – I mean, nothing accelerates faster than these bikes. By the way, I mean, here's the whole thing. One of these bikes just bone stock just – but people don't understand anything about anything. I'm going to explain it. Nikki, help me explain. One of these super bikes, these pocket rocket type bikes, and just plain stock showroom street dress could out accelerate any supercar ever created. Just, you know, the most crazy exotic twin turbocharged Porsches or even
street
the new
supercar.
Porsches.
Street supercar.
Anything.
Like a drag race? Dragster?
Well, no, nothing does a dragster.
Yeah.
But, it could outdo, you know, Formula One cars. I mean, here's the thing. A bone stock street bike would hang with a Formula One car, just straight acceleration. Right. I mean, it's just crazy weight to horsepower ratio.
How does a guy from Kentucky get into this stuff?
Yeah, it's funny you should ask. I just grew up on dirt bikes, actually. My dad used to race, and just as a little kid, I kind of got into it, and my brothers were racing, and just been chasing my dream ever since, really. When I was about 13, I started on road bikes, caught a few breaks, had some good people behind me, and, trying to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, lots of chicks in this sport outside of this country, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Much better, like in Italy.
Italy is quite impressive. A lot of talent. Italy, and not talking about the riders either. So.
You know, it's a thing too. Is South America big into racing? Always has been.
All kinds of racing or motorcycle racing?
Like Brazil, motorcycle, Formula One, like into that stuff. You just thought they were just drunk and dancing.
I got a Brazilian teammate this year.
Yeah,
Alex Barros. So yeah.
Yeah, this is, I mean, these guys are, they don't really, you know, there's a good solid following. All the guys at the Culver City PD, by the way, were huge.
Will you stop tonight or something?
No, no. We used to come by and talk to me about motorcycle racing
really?
All the time. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, they're always going to the races and everything. Yeah. But they don't get their due in this country, even though there's a good following. Europe is where you want to go for these things. Huh. All right, so we got some, well, when's the next race somewhere we could see it?
Actually, our season is right now we're beginning to start. First race is April. In South Africa, and of course it'll be on Speed TV live.
Yeah.
And until then, we're just trying to get everything in line, doing some testing. I leave on Tuesday, go back to Spain, and
back to Spain.
Yep.
Not to Kuala Lumpur, not to Indonesia.
Nope. Going to Spain, doing some testing, a lot of testing. And if those a-holes over on the Speed Channel can squeeze this in between their NASCAR wrap-up and their NASCAR truck weekends and their NASCAR tailgate parties, those idiots. They used to do good stuff over there. I was all this NASCAR. And listen, don't give in to the tards, everybody. It's all these idiots who want to watch nothing but NASCAR. They have their way to be nothing but NASCAR on every channel all the time. Don't listen to those people. Drew, am I right?
You're right.
You don't like that crap, do you?
No.
Just a bunch of S-kickers going in a circle with a iron block pushrod engine making a-holes of themselves. All right. You ready to roll here?
Yeah, here we go.
All right, let's go. Let me talk to you about your bike real fast.
All right.
Five cylinders, Nikki was telling me before we got on the air, which is interesting because it's usually an even number.
Hmm.
It's confused. You know, it screws up the firing thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
what is it? Six
yeah.
or eight or two or four. But five cylinders, 1,000 cc's. How much horsepower
about
is the bike?
About 230
got?
Horsepower, they're claiming.
Really?
Yeah, so it's enough, absolutely. I think this year, top speed in Italy, we were doing like 204 mile an hour. So
yeah, and what do you think the 0 to 60 time is on a bike like that?
I don't even know, to be honest with you. I would say I'd be guessing. I mean, I can make something up for you, but
I'm making something up. It's well under 2 seconds.
All right. No, I can't do it. Yeah, I'd say for sure well under 2 seconds.
Well under two. The turbo Porsche is more like four.
Wow.
I mean, it'd be well under
those cars.
We're talking
about 1, 2.
Yeah, listen.
Under that.
Here's the thing.
60 miles an hour.
Put it this way. You're at 100 on this bike before you're at 50 in a supercar.
But you're at 100 before you count 1/1,000.
No.
Oh, 0 to 60. I beg your pardon.
Okay. Come on, Drew. True. Over here, buddy.
Yes.
Okay.
At 100 miles an hour. 4 years, 0 to 50. All right, got it.
That's right. I mean, I'm just saying, get in the turbo Porsche, have the guy dump the clutch and pin your head against the thing, and before you get to 50, Nikki's going to be at 100 on this bike.
Wow.
That's right. All right.
There you go.
Of course, you'll be indoors, which is nice. Got a stereo. Nick?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yep, 20 years old.
What's up?
Well, my girlfriend, she's having trouble with giving blowjobs. She doesn't want to give them mm-hmm. or whatnot because she's afraid that I'll go in her mouth. And I'd like to go in her mouth, of course, you know, but she thinks it's, like, totally disgusting, gross, whatever, and it's like, if it ever arose, I'm like, what the hell, you know? If you go in her mouth, of course. You know, but she thinks it's, like, totally disgusting, gross, whatever, but she's bi, see, and she thinks that going down on a female is
she's
not
bi.
Gross. You see what I'm saying? I'm
but
like, well,
you,
I go
but you
down
think,
on you.
You think that is gross?
No, I do. I go down on her. I like it, you know?
Sure. He pronounces bi, it's just bi.
Bi. It's like a sheep.
She's bi. Yeah. All right, so she's bisexual. She's bisexual. And, all right, so has she ever had any trauma or anything? Anything go off, you know?
When she was a kid, somebody forced her to do this?
Yeah, something happened when she was a kid she was telling me about. Like,
all right, well, can you understand that might be really seriously disturbing to her to sort of revivify? I don't know if I should use words like that.
But I don't know what revivify is, and I pronounce bye.
to be sort of re-confronted with the feelings and the experience of that when that was something that was horrible for her at one time. You gotta, it's your girlfriend. Have a little
She's fine. Okay.
She's fine because she was brutalized by men when she was a kid.
He has to, where was he? Nick has to. Nick, don't get her pregnant.
Oh, no. She's already got a kid. She don't need another one.
Yeah.
Shocking.
No, I'm shocked.
I know. Here's the thing, though. Let me explain something, Nick, and here's the real problem in this society. God or nature or the great magnet or whatever you pray to sees no difference between those who need a child and those who don't need another. Ironically, the ones who don't need another
seem to get them.
They get five.
Mm-hmm.
It's that rich couple that has been praying and trying to adopt for 8 years and gone through all the different fertility modes that don't get the kid. Don't get the kid. The one who doesn't need the kid gets the kid.
What is that?
So Nick, you saying, well, now she don't need, I know she doesn't need. That doesn't mean she's not going to get. I would argue that makes her a candidate for another kid. Yes?
Guys like Nick must be closer to nature.
In terms of being able to knock up people?
Yeah, nature wants the people like Nick to reproduce. Doesn't want people like...
Right. Doesn't want all the people that are undergoing all the fertility treatments and never able to have a kid.
Isn't that interesting?
Nick, you have any kids?
Can't say that I do.
But I don't want you to jinx.
Right? I don't want you to jinx anybody here and all this kid talk getting carried away.
You'll be fine.
You mentioned something about Italy before the show started.
Keep your dork in your leathers. That's all. Marie?
Oh, hi.
You're 22?
Thank you so much for taking my call. Wow, you guys have helped me so much. Thank you so much.
All right, listen. I appreciate whatever she was saying, but it was a bad connection, right?
Yeah, it's impossible.
We'll talk to Vladimir over here, who's got a question for Nikki, I think. Vladimir?
Adam?
What's happening?
First of all, Adam, you're my God among gods. Dr. Drew, you're a passionate, passionate man.
Mm-hmm.
Towards Nikki, congratulations on the world championship. My question is, is World GP ever come to the United States? And with Valentino Rossi, with Valentino Rossi leaving, who's the number one rider on the Respal Honda team? And little advice for people trying to break into AMA, because I know people riding Willow Springs, and, you know, it's kind of hard trying to pick up sponsors, and, you know, just got to give a little shout-out to, like,
all right, listen, Jackoff. You're doing so good too. Let me give your shout out.
I'm sorry, Adam. Just I had to plug them in. You know, you gotta.
So he's saying that if you don't do it, he's having enough trouble, such as it is, getting sponsors.
I'm putting him on hold, but
this gives him at least a chance to get a sponsor.
Nikki can answer whatever questions he asks.
Well, I think the first one was about the MotoGP coming to the U.S. and they're saying not in 2004. But in 05, it's almost it's looking real good. So I hope they come here.
What are the tour stops? It's like all over Europe, Japan.
You got it here.
Yeah, I know, but I can't read it. It's the wrong color.
Well, yeah, pretty much worldwide.
I mean, go through the whole thing.
I want to look at it.
All right. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, pretty much worldwide. So I think we need to add one in America.
Europe.
In the middle somewhere.
I don't know if the middle of the country.
Malaysia.
Maybe the middle of the schedule.
Yeah,
I'm
middle
not sure
of the schedule.
The middle of the country.
Basically, every continent is represented here except North America.
Up with that?
Because we got idiots here that are into NASCAR, and they're such idiots, they get into that NASCAR trucks, too. Oh, my God. We're just chock full of a-holes in this country. We got to move to Europe. Let's go.
Let's go. Pack our bags.
That's right. I'm going to be Sparky, your crew chief.
Right? I don't know if I want you calling the shots.
Don't worry,
team,
son. I got that chalkboard. I hold signs up. A lot of times it's going to be a smiley face.
We'll find you a job, but crew chief, I don't know about that.
I'll be pulling the plugs. I taste them, too. I give them I get a lick. I know if a plug's, I know if a cylinder's running lean or it's running rich. I'll adjust everything. You'll be fine. I know what it's like. I'll take the bike out, warm it up a little, a few laps. I want to be the guy who holds the chalkboard up as you're going by.
With some cans on.
Yeah, I got the headphones on, and I just want to hold that thing. You know, I don't know what it says. You know, one lap to go or pit or something. I want to be the chalkboard guy. That's my dream job. That and the job on Survivor. Of the faceless bodies that test the actual the events, whenever they show the challenges, they just show people from the waist down, like running or
that's right.
I like that to be.
You mentioned Fluffer a couple times too.
And Fluffer,
yeah,
Chick Fluffer.
whatever.
Okay. Michael?
Yeah. I have a Germany 16? Florida question.
Germany or Florida? All right, go ahead.
This is my third time calling. It's the first time I messed up and the second time you guys got it wrong.
That's right.
Yeah, this is the third round.
He's the guy that called and said, there's a German guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I blew it pretty bad.
All right, so here it is.
Oh, yeah, a father used a fishing line to catch a man he suspected of spying on his daughters. The 37-year-old husband and father identified himself only as Brian because he doesn't want to bring attention to his daughters. Brian's wife had noticed that a backyard chair kept being moved under a bathroom window overnight. Soon the couple was convinced someone was watching their girls, ages 16 and 15, or 6 and 15, while they showered. Brian, a hunter and fisherman, took a spool of fishing line, tied one end to the leg of the chair, snaked the fishing line into the house, and left the spool on the kitchen counter.
Mm-hmm.
With his 6-year-old daughter in the bathroom one night last week, he got a bite. The spool fell off the counter and began unraveling. Just like I hooked a fish, Brian said. He took the bait and ran with it. Brian
he took the chair?
No, he's moving the chair to the window.
Yeah, okay, all right. He ran with it. Yeah. All right.
Well, he's speaking right. As though it were a fish.
He's going to gaff his prey.
And poor Michael here has got, like, chronic sinusitis here. It's like,
you all right, Michael?
Michael.
Oh, I got a cold.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
You can hear it?
I'm
just kidding.
No, Drew's got a crystal ball filled with snot.
Sorry.
All right, so Germany or Florida? So wait,
what finally happens?
They bust the guy.
Oh, so yeah, they basically busted the guy. The 31-year-old guy who lived a couple houses down, and he was taken to jail.
Taken to jail. All right, now
I could go either way.
But
the sportsman goes Florida for me.
Sportsman goes Florida too. The pedophile, little Florida. Germany.
Just the looking part. The Germans would do all that looking.
They
do on the line or something, you know, on the whatever.
All right. We're going
Florida.
Florida. Nikki, did this happen in Germany or Florida?
I'm going to put the blame on the Germans.
All right.
Go against you boys.
That's great.
So,
all right.
Go ahead, Michael.
Adam, Drew, you guys are right. It was Florida.
Oh,
Florida.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
That's why we're pros. You
all
understand?
Right. Got the rookie over here making a mistake.
We don't come out and tell you how to ride the bike. You don't tell us whether the lawn chair was moved out of Germany or Florida. Am I right, Drew?
Yeah, of course you're right.
Yeah, thank you. All right, let's keep
going. Let's take this one, because she was the one that was had the bad phone call before.
Okay.
Bad connection.
Marie?
Hi, is this connection better?
Much better. There we go.
Okay, what's good. Up?
Well, I've had I'm 22. I've had an eating disorder for a long time, and I'm doing all right. I've been going through recovery the last 2 years, you know, back and forth, you know. And
Marie, hang on one second. Can you tell Adam, just listening to her, does she give you a different feeling than our usual eating disorder?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're doing fine, aren't you?
Well, I'm doing, it's still a struggle every day, but I'm doing better than I'm feeling better than I can ever remember. So.
Right, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Anyway, I lost my period around the time I was 16, and I haven't got it back since.
Yeah.
And I've maintained my weight on my own for the past about 5 months.
What do you mean on your own?
And not inpatient, outpatient.
Okay.
And, I have doctors and things, but I mean, okay. I'm eating on my own.
You're not having a structured meal plan?
No.
Okay, and what is your weight?
700 pounds.
No. 12
pounds.
I actually think it's around like 120 or 130 or something.
And how tall are you?
I'm 5'5".
Okay.
So anyway, my question is that I still, even though my weight, my doctor says that I should have my period, it hasn't come back yet, and she wants
right.
to give me Provera to kind of
right.
kickstart it.
Correct.
But I've heard you say on the show that it's okay if a woman doesn't have it.
It's okay, but you need to find out if you can have it. The problem is with eating disorders is sometimes you can get premature ovarian failure, meaning sort of a menopause where your ovaries don't work ever again.
Yeah.
Now, what they need to do a little bit of testing to see if you can cycle normally, start cycling normally. That's a different question than does not bleeding harm you in some way? And no, it does not. But having low estrogen levels and, you know, being deficient can harm you. Obviously, it can cause softening of the bones, that kind of thing. So they need to test for all those things.
Yeah.
Now,
okay. Drew, when you guys try to kickstart somebody, do you ever just physically kick them?
Well, you see how he's sitting on the bike here, Nikki?
Yeah.
We just get on that kick. We just get on him like that and just kick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think those bikes have kickstarts
anymore.
Oh,
okay. Well, he would get on the bike.
They must start him. They don't have a starter on him either. They must start him with a remote starter, right?
No, they actually use a motor to a wheel, put the bike in sixth gear, and let the clutch out. Some bikes, other brands.
They start him that way.
Have electric starters, right. But we that's how we do it, to keep the weight
down.
Weight,
yeah. No, I was right. You got the motor starter thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My crew chief, I mean, you got to know this stuff.
Well, I'm just saying, that's how I'm going to do it. I'm not going to have you tug around a motor and a solenoid and all that's just extra weight.
Marie?
Yeah, unsprung right. Wait, yeah.
Marie?
Yeah?
Where's Marie?
Yeah, so you need to go through that. You need to find out if you can cycle. And they need to measure your estrogen levels and something called your FSH, which is something produced by your pituitary gland.
That's everything that my doctor's been saying. But it's just, I guess I didn't realize that there was a difference between being on depo or not taking the sugar.
Yes, not having your period, having the bleeding suppressed by a birth control method is very different than your ovaries not working.
Mm-hmm. So. Nikki, what are the CC classes? Are they like 250, 500, 750, and 1,000 or something?
125, 250 Ooh. CC, and then 1,000 straight.
Oh, there's no nothing.
No, there used to be a 500 class, but then the 1,000 cc four cylinder replaced that class about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And then you put a fifth cylinder on.
Yep, we added one more.
Well, how can we just add two more?
Well, you're just constantly trying to get that weight to horsepower.
Yeah,
so,
Drew. What about 1,000 more?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Well, here's the. Yeah, I don't know. Why not? Why not six?
Well, you're the crew chief. Well, you're supposed to know this stuff.
I'll tell you why. Because
it must add more weight than horsepower.
No. Here's why. I could possibly want to know. Here's the thing. When you get a bunch of small pistons, you get RPM because you got a bunch of small ones. I mean, if you're talking about like the same displacement, one piston is the size of a, bucket.
Yeah.
And then if you broke that in times five, that'd all be the size of a Campbell soup can.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you get more RPM. Out of the smaller ones, but you probably lose a little torque, coming out of the corner. Cool. The RPMs in the higher range thing probably tacks up 14, 15, 16,000 or something like that. I don't know what the hell they're up to now. 12,000?
Are you still talking about the bike?
Still talking about the bike.
I didn't know.
You thought we were talking about the vagina?
Yeah, but I wasn't sure. But all right.
Well, where do you shift on that bike? 12,000?
The higher. 14? About 16,000.
16. All right, so it's way up there. I mean, it was just screaming, because when a car gets to 7,500, it's screaming.
That's screaming still with big pistons, right?
The car.
No.
No. What?
1,000 cc.
1,000 cc times five pistons. Look, most four-cylinder cars are 2.4, 2.6, This is less than half of that with five cylinders.
Got
so
it.
Imagine how much smaller the pistons are. Anyway, more RPM. But if you kept going and they just kept getting smaller and smaller, you'd probably lose your torque eventually. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Right, Nikki? Don't worry about it, kid. You bang the models and ride the bike. I'll take care of the track, the chalkboard, writing the stuff on there. That's all me.
I'm going to sleep easy.
Sleep
easy.
Knowing
you're in charge.
Just ride. And you know what? I know this sounds cocky. You don't even need to wear the helmet. The bike's going to work so beautifully. It's going to be like a gyro. It's going to be on rails. The helmet's only going to slow you down. Let the lady see your beautiful face when you're going down the straightaway there to 190 miles an hour. All right. Let's take a little break. Nikki Hayden is here tonight. He's a World Grand Prix GP motorcycle racer, one of the best in the world. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Nikki Hayden is here tonight. He is an expert motorcycle racer. He was the World Grand Prix Rookie of the Year last year and races the super bikes, the Formula One bikes all over the world.
What's Repsol?
That's actually a gas company, really big in Spain, a lot in Brazil, kind of like a Shell station here. Gas, oil.
Shell being a Dutch company, by the way.
What's that?
But it's funny, Shell in America, which is a Dutch company.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I didn't know Shell was a Dutch company.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
I'll tell you, these bikes, most sophisticated motorcycles around. And listen, you know how I I make fun of those NASCAR a-holes. The other guys have had an ass full of these guys on the hogs with the, just a big... I just can't stand those obnoxious jock heads driving around with their open pipes and their big thumpers and their... If you're going to get a bike, just get one of those Ducatis or something and look cool, you know? I mean, just go carve up a canyon. What are you doing just thumping up and down the boulevard? I think you just... I guess it's just guys who want people to look at them, right?
That's about
is that what it is?
What else could it be?
I like the guys who get on the bikes who do this one where it's like... I got the Honda Gullwing. It's the six-cylinder. It's the car. It's bigger than a car engine in here. It's got the full fairing. It's got the radio. I got my fat old lady. We got the matching helmets. We got the intercom system. We got the trailer. We hook up. We pull the trailer. It's like it's got wind fairing on the front of the thing that you can feel no atmosphere as you pass through it. And it's a certain – the thing gets – thing probably gets 18 miles a gallon, probably less than just about every Honda out there. At a certain point, it ain't a motorcycle. Like it's like, why do you ride the motorcycle? Here's the only thing you can do. If it starts raining, you're going to get wet. Other than that, it costs more than a car. It's heavier than a car. It gets worse mileage in a car. And it's just you got to talk to your old lady through an intercom. And by the way, talking to your old lady on a cross-country trip is bad enough. Can you imagine having, you know, Goose and your snowman and you're just talking to her through the, yeah, it's Roger, I got to take a leak.
No, it's going to be, not so fast.
Slow down.
No, not like that. I'm getting sick. I'm going to throw up.
I'm going to throw up. Who are you, James Dean? Yeah, so I just can't stand all these idiots with their on their hogs. But the guys on the super bikes, that's different.
Yeah.
Pieces of art they are. So anyway, Nikki is here tonight. Nikki, did you watch the Oscars?
No, I didn't.
Good. I like that. This is a man who focuses on his sport.
That's right.
Got to keep my priorities in perspective.
He just drove out from Kentucky.
Oh, he did? Mm-hmm. Rode the superbike all the way out from Kentucky?
No, not from Kentucky. I trailered it out.
What's a good wheelie gear on this bike?
Any gear. This bike will wheelie in any gear.
Any gear. And I love these guys. They're going across the finish line. They're going 100 and something miles, and I just pull that wheelie up and just go right across. Yeah. So, Drew.
Yeah.
You see the Oscars?
I did. What do you think?
I seemed to move along.
Yeah, better
good.
Than usual.
I was a little, I was getting a little ass full of the Lord of the Rings by the end.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I can't figure out this Lord of the Rings thing. Everyone has seen I haven't seen any of the Lord of the Rings.
I'm with you on that.
Now, here's why I haven't seen any, because I can't see the one in the theater because everyone says you can't see this one. You got to see the other two first.
Right.
And then, so I go, all right, I'm not going to, but everyone says it's the best movie ever made. And then, so I get the DVD. I think Jimmy got me the DVD of like number one or number two. And I pop it in. Every 3 weeks, I pop it in. I watch the same 20 minutes. It's just a bunch of guys with these gay British accents, and the whole thing just smacks of a bad Jethro Tull CD cover.
And
by the way, I don't know anything about, I didn't read The Hobbit or The Rings or whatever, the Tolkien, I didn't read any of his stuff, but I don't know where this is supposed to take place, but it's pretty much just it's just Dungeons and Dragons, right? I mean, it's guys with British accents. It's castles. It's dragons. It's knights. It's swords. It's arrows. Isn't this just, you know, sort of Knights of the Round Table stuff? Yeah. I mean, is this sort of 13th century stuff?
Except no history.
Except for no history, but it's like, well, this takes place in a totally different world.
Star Wars.
But a totally different world where they all speak with English accents and they live in castles on fjords and they fight with swords and arrows. I mean, we saw this. Didn't, what do you mean a different world?
Sorry, it did happen here.
You mean the world that was here 800 years ago?
Right.
That world? Isn't that? Am I wrong or am I wrong?
You are right.
It's gay faggotry at its highest.
I think it was nice tonight.
It's nerd meets gay. It's everyone tells me how good it is, and guys I respect and guys I like tell me how good it is, but I just watch 15 or 20 minutes of it, I'm already sort of angered. And the Hobbit guys are the guys like, you know, the guy with the hairs coming out, and he's wearing the diaper, and he's like, hey, what's good to drink? And it's like I'm immediately annoyed by the guy.
Yeah.
And I see this guy, and it's like, this movie's 3 hours long. I've just had 30 seconds of this guy, and I've had an ass fall.
I think we're too old.
Can't take anymore.
We must be too old, because my kids love it. My kids love this movie.
Okay.
And I took them to see Master Commander. I thought, that's a great film. It's a great film, but you got to see Lord of the Rings, or their take on it.
Where does Lord of the Rings take place? Please tell me England in the 13th century.
I couldn't tell you. I don't have a clue.
Chris, where's Lord of the... You don't know?
So you and I get bogged.
Middle Earth, guys.
Middle Earth.
Oh, okay. Why did you say
Middle Earth? But it all just seems like England.
You know what, Adam? You gotta watch through, and you have to see the special effects and the battle sequences, and there's some really innovative stuff. Yes, the film is incredibly gay. I admit that, but there's a lot of good stuff to it as far as.
All right. Now we're using gay as a pejorative term. Now, yeah. Speaking of, let me give my queer eye piece here. I thought the women's fashion tonight was amazingly. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
That's gay, too. You
know, no. Listen, I'm used to kind of weird, like, why are they... This was all just like, wow, that just looks good.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, hot chicks trying to look hotter.
But usually it's crazy stuff. It's just classic, look great.
Well, here's what happens when hot chicks go at themselves too hard. They become like a painting where it's a beautiful scape, and the guy says, just one more swipe of the brush, and it ends up screwing things up.
There's a little of that. Salvador Dali versus some great, you know, Caravaggio or something. They've gone back to classics, it seems to me. The other thing is, a lot of every single acceptance speech was focused on family of origin and their current, which I thought was nice, and their current kids and wife. Yeah,
and thanking all the people of... New Zealand.
New Zealand. And South Africa.
Oh, it just got boring. And I watched them. I would have won 11.
I know.
Okay.
Especially there was so many great... That In America. Oh.
Drew, that's a great movie, right? Yeah. All right. Brooke?
Yeah.
Middle Earth. Hold on. Isn't Middle Earth just molten magma?
Yes. Okay. There was a crust just before the magma.
All right. Brooke?
Yeah.
You're 14. And wait a minute. Where was Tolkien from? It's English, right?
I believe.
He just wrote a book about, it's like, what did you call it? That King Arthur. You know what I'm saying?
It should have been, you know, in a land far, far away, before the days of, you know, our current kings and queens or something. You know, it should have been like Arthur. You're right.
I didn't even see it, so what am I talking about? Yeah, okay.
Plus, they're giving the awards like the entire trilogy. This is the last one of the three, so they're giving it to the entire trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if I had asked for all that. Brooke?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Adam and Drew, you guys are like my gods. I seriously love you.
Thank you.
Okay, can speed, like, make you totally lose your sex drive?
Absolutely. Routinely so.
How about it, Nikki? 200 miles
I'm not going to argue with the expert on that one. Seemed like he knew what he was talking about straight away, so I'm going to have to go with the pro on it. Absolutely.
Okay. What about it? What are we talking to?
Brooke. Nikki's got a career in politics. I believe.
I like to do it, and it's a sort of that. It's that down
home. Yeah.
Homespun stuff. I like that. Brooke.
Yeah.
Are you doing speed?
Well, I do a little bit of straight speed, but I do more stackers than anything.
Stacker.
What's a stacker?
It's like a diet pill, but someone told me it's pure speed, and it works like pure speed. So.
Why do they call them stackers?
That's just the name of it.
No, I have a diet pill.
How does this? How old is she again?
14.
She meant that's what they call it. That's why we have the world's dumbest callers.
I know. Why do you call it stackers?
That's just the name of it.
Just what they call it.
That's just what they call it. It's like, no S. I know. She ask again, though?
Yeah. Hey, Brooke?
Yeah?
Why do they call it stackers?
I'm being completely serious. That's the name of the thing on the diet pill bottle. It says stackers.
Really?
Yes.
The product is called Stackers.
Is it an over-the-counter product?
I'm not sure.
Do you need a prescription for it?
No, I'm sure you don't.
You buy it at the pharmacy yourself?
You have to be 18 or older, but yeah.
Okay, so it's some sort of maybe ephedra product. Do you take big doses of them, lots of them?
Well, they're big capsules, and I take like 3 or 4.
Yeah. Okay.
And let me offer you my humble apology for making fun of you when that was actually the name that was on the bottle, Brooke. But let me also say, it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. A huge man.
Yes, I agree,
a tremendous
Adam.
Man like myself.
Hey, Brooke, the if that is sort of a Mawang or a Fedra product, those things can affect your liver. They are converted to speed. It's the same damn thing, only more dangerous.
Well, that's what she's looking for. But what's the speed What are you doing with speed? I mean, you're 14. What are you driving a truck across country, or what are you doing with the speed?
What do you mean? I'm taking it.
Just taking it. Adam, what?
Now I'm getting angry.
Yeah. Brooke, what are you doing with the speed?
Taking it.
I don't understand your question.
No, Brooke, relax. Hey, Brooke is your big fan, Adam. Come on, kind to her.
Why are you taking speed?
Is there some other than just getting high? Is there something else you're getting from
it? No, I'm not asking that. I'm just saying. I mean, you just.
A lot of people who take speed, it feels really good to them.
Really?
Yeah.
How long do you?
Yeah.
Okay. She's very, very concrete in her thinking, Brooke.
She's 14.
I know.
And on speed, it also makes them concrete.
Okay. Hey, Brooke.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Let me explain something. And I don't want to bum your high, but the future does not look bright for Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now her phone's cutting out, but I'll just keep speaking. Yeah. Someone's got to say it. I'll say it right now. You're not stupid, but you wouldn't call you smart either. And if you keep doing drugs, quiet down, Drew. Listen, not everyone's a genius. I got plenty of idiots in my own family. Believe me. Not everyone, hold on a second. I got to say something. My wife was talking to me about one of her nieces. It's a family member. It's distant, Quiet down.
In Chicago?
And she was saying no. And she was saying, she's a little disappointed in the girl. Doesn't seem like she's older. She's like 24. She's not doing that much with her life. And I had to explain to my wife, that's most people. People aren't exceptional. Not everyone is out sort of taking the world by storms. A lot of just sort of meatheads out there just kind of, getting a paycheck and hammering it and watching a little TV. I mean, fine. That's 99% of the world. The Brooks of the world are going to have difficulty even getting a paycheck and doing that part of it.
Yeah.
And if they sort of stunt their brain often and early enough like they're doing now, they're taking what would have been a nice 70 to 80 watt bulb and knocking it down to Christmas tree light.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're aft. Even at 80, it was going to be a challenge.
And Brooke, in addition to the concerns about the liver, the speed does damage the brain, creates chronic mood problems, anxiety, memory problems. That's what Adam's referring to. Mm. And triggers horrible addiction, which is going to be another whole disease state you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it sounds like a horrible thing to people, but if you're really super smart guy, take some drugs, knock yourself out, do some experimenting. Go down from 160 IQ, knock yourself all the way down to 133.
Fantastic.
Still be smarter than everyone who listens to this show. But if you're hovering around 90, take it easy. You understand? That's what I'm saying, and nobody says that. It's just, nobody can do anything. No, really super smart, lucid, intelligent people, they can experiment with drugs. You know what? They can make it. You know what it's like? It's like guys, half the guys I went to high school with. You could shoot them and stab them with a sprinkler key, and they'd be all right. They'd be all right, like a week or so later.
Don't confuse abuse with addiction. The people that have the addictive gene, if you trigger addiction, it's going to take you down regardless.
Well, this is going to be even worse for Brooke because she's into
both. She's got both.
All right. Take care of yourself. Nikki Hayden is here tonight. He is the MotoGP Rookie of the Year 2003. New season is starting up soon. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Nikki? Yeah. Hey, everybody. Loveline. Nikki Hayden is here. He's the World Grand Prix Motorcycle Champion. This is the super bikes. I mean, this is the Grand Prix of motorcycles. It's not none of them hogs or them thumpers or nothing. These are five-cylinder. I mean, you're getting 1,000. You got 1,000 cc's. You're getting 200-plus horsepower out of that. That is naturally aspirated, as we say, Drew.
As the pit operator, what do you call him, Nikki?
He's the crew chief.
Crew chief.
He calls all the shots. He's kind of the man in charge for the
show. Guy that holds the blackboard.
Hold the chalkboard up, and not just a regular chalkboard. This one's got holes in it, for aerodynamics. People going by.
Of course,
it gets windy. Yeah, So no turbos on these bikes, and no superchargers, obviously. They never really do a supercharger on a bike. They try doing a turbo every once in a while. Listen, when you're getting 220 horsepower out of 1,000 cc's, what do you need a turbo for? And the bike, These bikes, what do they weigh, 400 pounds?
Yes, more probably in the 300.
Yeah.
So maybe right about there. And, yeah, we don't need any more power. It's getting them stopped. It's the problem. So
right.
We got carbon fiber brakes, and, you know, those do the trick.
You ever had any horrible wipeouts?
I've had a few. Yeah. I mean, God bless, you know, I've been pretty fortunate. But, I mean, that's part of it.
Given that you're already sort of touching the ground going 200 miles an hour, how does it – at what point are you out of control?
Going over the top is the bad part.
How does it make it do that? What made you slip? Just the wheels don't catch? Or?
Well, just getting greedy, you know, and just a little bit too much throttle. And like you said, going over the top, those are the big ones. And, you know, of course, when you're racing with someone that close, little mistake, you know, couple guys hooked, those are pretty ugly too.
Yeah. And it seems like in almost all motorsports, they've worked it out a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, they have these sand traps and stuff like that.
Well, a bike could land on you.
Oh yeah, look, it's a dangerous sport. That's why we do it. You know, and
that's why you like to watch it.
That's why I like to watch it. But I mean, back in the day, they'd just be buzzing by trees and stuff, just big old trees like sitting right around the middle of stuff, putting like a reflector on it or something. You know. But yeah, it's still obviously you're going 200 miles an hour. There's no seat belts. There's no roll bar or anything. You're just wide open. You're just out. You know, you just hopefully if you're getting thing, you don't have the bike land on you.
Yeah, try to get away from the bike. That's the big thing, and tuck your arms in, and
yeah, they got these weird lumps now on their back. The guys look like Quasimodo now. I don't know if it's an aerodynamic thing. It's like right at the top of their shoulders, right in the middle. Is that what that is?
It's a lot aerodynamics and also whiplash a little bit. Uh-huh. Slam your neck back. Actually, I just got back from I was in Japan. About a week and a half ago, we were in the wind tunnel testing all the different...
Hold on, I was in the wind tunnel with Drew. It's called the kitchen over here where he's blasting away with these farts about that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
Drew, what was going on in that kitchen?
Trying to press you.
My God. All right, you're in the wind tunnel. Yep. How fast does the wind get going in that wind tunnel?
I don't know.
Fast as they want?
Yeah, I guess so.
200 miles an hour. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they used to have, you know, the problem was that they didn't have wind tunnels that went as fast as, like, some of the airplanes and stuff did, you know? And so they get the wind tunnel. You're just on the bike in the wind tunnel?
They crank it up and then just try to get, they measure the drag, the amount of drag you have.
Right.
Make a run, make a change, and then, you know, just keep going from there. Pretty boring, really.
Yeah, I wish I would have been notified about that. Mickey, it's all right. I'll beat the next one, Osaka. But next time you're doing wind tunnel testing, I just, you know,
that's his research team. Maybe the crew chief.
As a crew chief, I'd like to be there too.
We need to be on the same page. I don't want him to feel left out. He kind of looks like it's hurt his feelings a little bit. So we're gonna
listen.
I'm gonna fly him to Osaka. Come on, it's too expensive.
I'm a pro. I'll get over it. I'm just saying it's important to have the leader of your crew there at these testing facilities. That's all.
All right, safe call.
All right, let's talk to. True. Just let me say this.
We're going to be out of time.
I don't care. Just let me say this. It's all about the horsepower to weight ratio.
Yes, you've said that before.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know that.
Here you got 200-something horsepower and a 300-pound bike.
Yes.
This supercar, you got 500 horsepower, but you got a 3,000-pound vehicle.
Got it.
Do the math. All right. All right, hot stuff.
No, you have taught me that. Becca.
Yeah.
Expert now.
25. Becca?
Yes.
What's happening?
She's calling from your neighborhood, Tennessee.
You got a question?
Yes, I do.
All right.
My question is, I wanted to know why when I have sex, there's like a huge puddle in the bed. And I'm talking big, like big.
What was that? Big. Mm-hmm. You're talking big.
I'm talking big. I thought she dropped the F word.
Yeah, I did too. Okay. And are you known to have an emission when you have sex yourself? Oh, no.
I don't know.
All right. See now, Drew. But here's the point. I'm talking weight
to
horsepower
to
ratio. You got to take some calls, and this is what happens.
Becca?
Yes.
Do you have an ejaculation when you have an orgasm? Do you know?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
And that's where that wet spot comes from, and you're wondering, what is that fluid?
Well, I'm wanting to know why mine's so much. I mean, it looks like somebody took a full glass of water and just poured it all in the bed.
That is, some women have that, and
it ain't that much, though.
Right. It just seems like it looks it. That's
it
right.
Looks it.
It's like, not like a handstand. It's like, I don't know, maybe 8 inches across.
No, we understand. Yeah. And some women do have an emission during orgasm, and it's a talent, frankly. It's a blessing, a mitzvah, as Adam says.
It's good. It's good. I would be over that. I would be done with that novelty, year two into the marriage.
Yeah, but the point is, guys generally sort of are impressed that they can produce something or kind of like it, at least many guys, especially at the beginning. And secondly, it's normal. You don't have to be ashamed of.
Toss a little kitty litter down there. Stop it up like a transmission leak in the driveway. Remember, Dad would
toss. You always have to talk like the cruise chief that you are. Come on, relax.
That's what I do. We're leaking some tranny fluid. I throw some kitty litter down there.
We gotta take a break. We'll talk.
Sop it up. True.
Yeah, Nicky's impressed by all this. He is.
Yeah,
so
I'm not sure what the problem is. Doesn't sound.
Little moisture on the track.
Yeah, get your rain tires.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. All right, Nicky Hayden here, World Grand Prix Rookie of the Year last year. We're gonna be some new crew chief. We're leaving for Osaka tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Nicky Hayden is our guest tonight. He is the, he was the World Grand Prix Rookie of the Year last year, and season's beginning soon. Riding the, let's call them the Formula One bikes. Too many titles, too many names, but it's about the fastest vehicles made that you can turn. Hmm. I'd say that would be about the best way to describe these bikes. I don't think there's any way you could get around a tightish track any faster in any kind of vehicle than one of these bikes. And these bikes go to, they used to, like, go to Daytona and stuff, too, and get on the oval and everything, right?
Yes, there's still a championship that runs in America, which is still superbikes with a little bit, less same CCs, but not as many cylinders. So,
how many a year are you out of the country?
I don't know, probably 8 months out of the year.
How long has it been like that?
Half, Drew.
Yeah, man.
Last year was my first year, so I used to race here in the U.S., the AMA series, and then I won the championship in 2002 and got promoted up to World GP, as you say, and once I got hooked up with him as my crew chief, things have been really falling into place. So
that's right. I also wrangled the ladies after the race too. Yeah, they like
what he was talking about.
Yeah, chicks like the leathers. I think the guys in this layer. Yeah, there's nothing cooler than those leathers. You know, the full body, all the patches and names and numbers and sponsors and everything. Very cool.
So cool, it makes Adam angry.
Yeah. Well, I like those leathers. This is cool. All right, you ready, Drew?
Let's go.
Let's talk to Cameron. Cameron?
Hello?
Now, you know, the other thing I want to do is during the hot days, like on the Australian Open, I'm going to hold the umbrella.
Now, will
we'll get someone to do it?
Yeah,
we'll get a check.
That's more a female
that's
job.
A check.
I don't
okay,
think you're going to look too good in a skirt.
No, you're right. Well... Oh, no, you're
You've never
right.
seen him. You've never seen him in a skirt.
But yeah, I don't want to.
Let's. You're right. Let's get a chick to hold the umbrella.
Let's get
smart
two
thinking.
Of them.
Smart. Two chicks hold the umbrella because they're the big ones. The oversized
it's hot.
Ones.
It's hot. Australia's smoke.
Cameron?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
My sister went to the gynecologist not too long ago, and she said that if you go on the pill, it's not good to smoke.
Smoke cigarettes.
Gynecologist is like the vagina crew chief.
Yeah.
That would be.
Yeah, but you always thought you were that, setting people up for Nicky the way you do. But
right. That's part of my job.
Be that as it may. Cameron, that's right. It's not so much at 18, but certainly as you hit your 30s, nicotine, tobacco smoking, and birth control.
Well, it's not cigarettes.
I understand you may not be smoking cigarettes, but I suspect your gynecologist was talking about cigarettes.
Yeah. I was curious about marijuana, too. Because I was thinking about going on the pill.
Yeah, probably not a big risk at your age. Though, if you're smoking so much pot that you can't stop, that's something to really look into.
That's right. Okay.
All right. Hey, the phones tonight have been
she had
less,
the radio on
less
full blast.
Stellar.
She had her radio on full blast, like they're riding in her car or something.
Man, one of our 18-year-old callers who had a question about pot didn't follow instructions correctly.
Isn't that amazing?
I'll tell you
what's happening.
What's next? Kurt?
Yo.
You're 26?
Yep.
You got a question for Nicky?
Yeah, Nicky, hey, good luck this next year. I'll see you on top of the box. I started road racing out here on my little SV on Willow Springs, and I was wondering, what was your first road bike that you raced back when you were 13?
Actually, I first started on a little 50, YSR 50, and then it was one of my brother's hand-me-downs. So started out at the bottom and just been trying to work my way up.
Yeah. That was a road bike?
Yeah, just a little miniature road bike.
Is it a Yamaha?
Yeah, it was a Yamaha.
Wow. Son of a... I'm kicking my dad right in the nuts next time I see that guy. I couldn't even get a mini bike out of that cheap bastard. And what are you riding, Kurt?
Yeah, a Suzuki SV650.
Ah, you need to go down to Willow Springs?
Yeah.
Do you do on the streets of Willow or Big Willow?
No, the big track.
I'll tell you, when I was down there doing that celebrity car race, we're in the streets of Willow, and we're watching the guys on the big track. It's scary seeing guys on motorcycles going at it.
Like, yeah.
You know when you're driving along the freeway and a guy buzzes past you at 85, you get a little like, oh,
yeah.
Oh. When you see like eight of them, they're all in the pack, they're going about 160.
Ugh.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, but, you know, good times. Yeah, that's
what, sure, a lot of fun.
Yeah. What do you do? Do you trailer the bike out there?
Yeah, I trailer it up there behind a Jeep and just pit with my friends.
Yeah, well, good times.
Yeah.
And
that's how
Adam started, too.
What was your next bike?
Pitting for his friends.
Yeah. Nikki, what was your, first full-size bike?
125 Honda. That was my first real bike and where I really got started. And I still remember that bike and always... pretty much ridden Hondas almost ever since. And actually Willow Springs, I know that track too. I've been out there before. It's a good track.
We're gonna do some testing out there soon.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna bring Nikki into the kitchen, do a little more wind tunnel testing. See if his eyebrows are in the right shape. All right, Kurt. Hey, but good times there, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, ride hard for sure.
Yeah, he will. that's great. Ride hard, okay. let's talk to, what are the bikes that are, dominating out there?
Actually my bikes, my teammate last year won the championship
and, Honda.
On a Honda.
And who else doing good out there?
Ducati's right there. Yamaha. I mean, it's, at that level, you know, everybody's really, really close. So,
Yeah, Ducati's, man, they're like Ferraris. This is a work of art. I mean, it's like everything else. The Japanese a little cheaper, a little faster,
a
little lighter.
How come doesn't make an automobile? You know what I mean? Mostly, eventually.
Ferrari doesn't make a motorcycle.
Another good question. Eventually, those guys, they seem like the motorcycle.
No, another stupid question.
Well, no, it seems like the motorcycle manufacturers eventually make an automobile. You know, isn't it?
Maybe. I mean, I guess because you're thinking about Honda and you're thinking about Honda.
BMW.
And then Honda. Yeah, but these
Suzuki
are... Suzuki a little bit. But, BMW, like, these are companies that start making, like, aircraft, engines and stuff like that. So, Honda, they're super diversified.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Ducati just makes motorcycles. You know, I mean, if you take a look at, like, Yamaha, they make outboard engines. I mean, it's really weird when you start looking at what these companies are making. They make everything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's not that weird, actually. I think it's just interesting. Alex?
Yes.
Liz, if Ducati makes a car, I'm going to buy it.
That's what
it's going to be $300,000. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I got a question. How do I get a girl to realize how much I do care about her?
You give us some more detail. Who is she?
Me and her hang out all the time together.
Oh, no. You're in Friendville, Alex. You're the friend. And there's a reason you're the friend. Just like, how come there are probably three other girls that are wondering.
Like, how come Ducati doesn't make a car, right?
There are probably three other girls that are wondering, how come Alex won't like me, isn't attracted to me, won't pay attention to me? Because you're not attracted to them. It's not going to happen.
True.
I mean, we make out and fool around all the time.
What do you mean by fool around?
Hold on a second. I'm getting a bogus vibe out of young Alex over here.
There's a bravado that... let's see what happens here.
Bogvado?
It might be a bogvado.
Go ahead, Alex.
I just came from her house. I mean, I live like 12 miles away from her, and I went to her house because she asked me to come over. So went down there. We were making out for like half an hour. And then she's like, well, I got to go back in. So I left.
Were you making out on the lawn for an hour?
No, we were sitting in my truck, actually.
All right.
I come back home. She calls me and asks me if I want to come back down.
come back down.
Yeah. They got to catch you before you beat off. Like before, it's like, you want some Zimas?
I'll be right there.
Yeah. But if they catch you after you beat off, it's like, who is this? Who? Why would I come? Why? I don't understand.
I was just there.
What, I forget something?
Right. Why come back down now?
Yeah, why come down? It's gross. Yeah, but it wouldn't compute even. See, women wouldn't be that way. They want to see you more, probably, right?
That's right.
Like, look, if a woman went home and masturbated to your image, and then you called when she was done, it's like, hey, I need to see you again.
More.
Probably more.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy would be like, huh? I wouldn't even compute. This. Oh, that's gross. I'm going to drive all the way down there and risk cooties. I got Sports Center and Triscuits over here.
Yeah.
Please. How dare you? We may never speak again. And then the guy builds up again, and then it gets a full.
Then the phone's ringing.
Then the phone's ringing. All right, so Alex, I don't understand. I can't understand this because Drew was wrong with his Friendville thing.
I don't understand it either.
All right, so just listen. She calls. She wants you to come back. So you go? Do you go back?
No, I didn't go back.
No, he beat off. And.
On the car on the way home.
Thank God he went with the vinyl bench seats instead of the velour.
Exactly. No.
So she says, come back. Now, you say to her, well, I just left. Why'd you ask me to leave the first time? What would she say?
She asked me if I wanted to come back down, have another cigarette with her, and just chill.
So let me give you some options. A, there's some other relationship that you're not aware of.
With her that she has, right.
That B, she's sort of in and out of or clinging on to, or there's some ex-boyfriend that she says she doesn't talk to anymore, but she still pines for him and sees him a little bit.
Is there something like that?
Not that I know of. I mean, there could be. We don't talk about relationships too much except for what we're doing.
All right.
Do you go to school with her or anything?
Yeah. And how old is she? She's 11, right? How old is she?
No, she's 18.
18.
Do you go to school together?
Yeah.
But you don't know anything about whether she has a relationship or not?
Not at school she doesn't. She usually dates older guys, but...
Okay, the other thing I was going to say is, and it could be both, by the way, is just chaos. a little chaos.
Yeah, she can't be intimate.
Her dad's not around. Yeah. Her dad died or abandoned the family when she was young. A-hole stepdad came in.
And she just might need that little extra.
Well, no, it's just...
we're back in the bogus now.
It ain't going to work. Yeah, this is not feeling right, Alex. I don't believe it.
I think Alex is getting played. I think the girl, she's not attracted to him, but she's just looking for someone to make out with. And
But why did she send him away and then call him? I think we're getting played. Alex, here's the deal. Either this is bogus or Alex is just sort of a flatliner.
Yeah.
Which is it, Alex? Are you minus a soul or is this bogus?
Alex is a gullible type.
Oh,
they'll do anything to please a woman. Not anything, but...
All right. Look, here's what you can do. And where's her dad?
Her dad lives pretty close to me.
Okay.
Like right down the street, practically.
Do you know him?
Not well, no.
No. Does she like him? Does she have a relationship with him?
Not really, no.
Okay.
All right. That's about it. Okay, here's the thing. If a chick has a hard time with her dad... She's going to be freaky with guys. God knows what's going on with her, but I'm smelling chaos. Mm-hmm. Alex, here's the thing about guys. But guys are smarter than chicks. I mean, that's number one. And we're also more practical. We think in a linear pattern. We just think A to B to C. And we think, look, if we're into somebody, we want to see them. And if we want to see somebody, we want to hump them. If we want to hump them, we'll spend the night and then hump them the next day. You know, we don't hop all over the map like chicks do. Chicks are all over the place, especially ones whose daddies were all over the place when they were young. So this is what Alex is getting, and Alex can't process it. Right. It can't make sense if he doesn't have enough experience. He's not worldly enough. He hasn't seen enough, and I don't blame him. We were all in the same crappy boat when we were 18, too. Right?
Crap boat, yes.
Crap boat?
Yes.
Well, you're more of a crap barge. Like, my boat was even a crap barge in that it didn't even have its own means of propulsion. It had to be pushed by crap tug.
It just floated. It floated down the crap river.
It was more of a canal.
Yeah.
It was a crap barge. It was just filled with rats and seagulls. Mm. And it would be pushed by crap tug and then just floating around. It didn't even have wasn't even a boat. At least the boat has a motor.
Appreciate this. He doesn't know what we're talking about.
He was 18. Yeah. He was in Saint-Tropez banging supermodels with his leathers pulled down. Yes, right?
No comment.
Yeah. Wait, how old are you now? You're young, right?
22.
22. Say you're even racing. I mean, racing's been your life for the last 10 years, right?
More. I mean, it's what I've done my whole life.
Double kick to my dad's nuts. Double kick. You don't go to college.
No.
Where do you go?
Just curious.
You don't go to college. You're out making a living.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Barely got through high school, so I was pretty happy. Got through with that.
No, you did?
Racing, yeah.
Surprised you did that.
Well, you don't have faith in your rider? What's that?
No, I mean, he's got what we call track smarts. You see what I'm saying? He don't got what you call street smarts or book smarts. He got track smarts. He knows what's going on in track. And let me say this about Nikki. We get up. Actually, we don't get up. We won't go to bed. 5 a.m. Light coming up. New sun. We're running the track. Me and you, side by side, just chugging along like it's one of those gay Bruckheimer movies, you know, running. And I'm pointing stuff out. This curve's a little off camber. I'm grooming it, too, picking up a cigarette butt, tossing it aside.
You're licking the ground here and there.
Yeah, and then eventually I start coming up with a backstory for myself where I used to be the greatest.
Right.
I was the best. This guy was the hottest GP. He was the rookie of the year in 1981 until tragedy struck, and he swore he'd never mount another bike. But there's no doubt that this would be me. This would be our backstory. We'd have to get, you know, for the chicks, we'd have to get on the same page with
this
story.
I think we're there. I mean, as far as
we're there,
back
yeah.
and forth. I mean, this guy taught me everything I know. I got to agree with him and learn from him.
And it's like, you haven't heard of Ace the Rocket Corolla? And then people will be like, oh, no, yeah, sure, I heard of him. Oh, man, he's a legend. I had this guy's poster over my bed. That kind of stuff would be good.
There's tracks named about him.
That's right. There's even maneuvers. You know what I mean? Like in gymnastics.
Sure.
They got in ice skating. They got the cow-tow.
Sow-cow.
Sow-cow. And the double camel. They got, like, the double Corolla. Yeah. All right, this is good.
We're
halfway home. Brian?
Yeah.
You're 23?
How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
So I've had some pretty bad acne for about 10 years now, and I tried a bunch of different antibiotics, and finally I tried Accutane a few years back, and it didn't do it.
Even while you were on it?
No, even while I was on it, I still had acne, and I kind of assumed, oh, well, maybe it just takes a few months afterwards to, you know, fully finish. And
how long did you take it for?
5 months.
And what was the maximum dose you took? Do you remember?
I can't remember. It's been a few years.
Do you take, like, cycles of that?
Yeah, it's one way of doing it.
Why? Are there ways just staying on it all the time?
Yeah.
I just took it 5 months straight.
Yeah, kids, they usually use a bigger dose for
and
a short period of time.
It didn't do anything, though. It didn't help?
It helped for a while, but now it seems like, you know, my acne is coming back just as bad or worse than it was before.
All right, well, then it's time for another cycle. But there's really nothing stronger than Accutane. That's about the strongest thing you can put together. Maybe that with some drying agents like Retin-A or those sorts. There's Retin-A's with moisturizing creams and things that can help.
Now, my other
over-dry.
Question was, have you heard of any bad side effects from that with people who wear contacts?
Because it dries you out.
Yeah, I'd imagine I imagine there would be. I mean, corneal drying is a real serious thing, and that's one of the biggest problems with contacts is keeping the lubrication on the cornea.
Yeah.
So I would be worried. I've not dealt with that. But again, I'm not a dermatologist, so I don't prescribe a lot of Accutane. But
listen, the biggest thing with Accutane is big pain in the ass.
The biggest thing
people
with
don't do
Accutane.
Anything. The dermatologists are right up there with chiropractors. Didn't do anything.
What are you talking about?
I went to a dermatologist. I went to a guy once because I got my neck rash and told me to grow a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be $180. Thanks, Dr. Jackass. They got no answers, these guys.
Oh, the thing about the Accutane that we do concern ourselves with is depression and fatigue and aches and pains, these sorts of things that certainly can happen. And now there's a registry. If you are a woman on Accutane, you have to register because the risk to a fetus is so profound that they want to monitor it extra carefully.
Wow. All right, so if you're on, as Accutane's about the most powerful one you can take for the sets.
Yeah.
But then you can put all the topical stuff on there.
Right, on top of that.
Yeah. I like the Lancum with a pin, Brian. That's my
thing. I've tried that, trust me.
Yeah, okay. All right. Just don't screw with them too much. You got to leave them be. It is true. You don't see people at the bad zits like you used to.
Yeah, because there's no reason for it these days.
I know.
It's treatable.
I don't like that.
You like the day with a lot of zits?
Yeah, once in a while. I mean, nothing ever makes you feel better about yourself than seeing a guy that, you know, full-on pizza face, and you're like, oh, Christ. Wow. And then you look in the mirror and you go, hey, not bad. It's all relative, right?
Yeah, now that's treatable. There's just no reason for that now.
But just remember back in the day, you would just see a guy, it was just a mess. Yeah. I mean, it was like, holy Christ. Oh, you felt sorry for the painful, guy, you know? Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you don't really, no one gets zits around their eyes.
That's different skin.
It is?
Yeah.
Why not? See, I wouldn't mind getting some zits around my eyes.
Get on your belly either. It's different skin.
I know, but if you had around your eyes, you put some sunglasses on, you know?
Ah, that would be good.
Big Swifty Lazar size, you know, big fat sunglasses. You wear those around, you know, like the old Navy chick.
Basically, you can't get them around there. They're called chalazions.
Really? Then, yeah. Never see that.
They're in the eyelid.
Yeah, nothing worse than that nose one. This nose where the person's nose starts taking a different shape. You know, or like, it's one thing to get the zits. The other thing is if it starts actually, it's like someone's taking a hammer and pounding out your fender from the inside. You know what I mean? It's like your face starting to take a different shape now. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. Bad times. Ouch. Bad times. We're not gonna have to worry about that, though. I mean, like I said, we got the sun, we got the sand. I mean, we're gonna be on tour. You know, you don't get zits when you're on tour. You know, you're basking. We'll be on the Riviera most of the time. And we'll be in Australia, be the Great Barrier Reef. Ashley?
Yes?
You're 23?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
You know, it's been going on for a couple years. Every time I have intercourse, I just have this huge sensation to go to the bathroom.
Is that right away, or is that after a while?
It's different. I mean, like I usually always go right before.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can earn a couple extra bucks for sometimes if you go to the bathroom on the guy.
Stay with me. I don't know about that one.
I
need some specific questions answered. Are you with the same guy this whole time?
Yes.
So same guy, same penis. Is it initially immediate?
No, he's got interchangeable penis. He's got one of those twist lock adapters. He can. Snap on different. It's like JJ arms.
Is it immediately
Inspector Gadget?
Is it immediately upon intercourse or after a while?
Groin. It varies. I mean, I know I have a small bladder in general.
Ashley, please just answer the questions. Just don't give me the theories yet. Just answer the question. Is it when you orgasm?
No.
It's during the intercourse. And is it ever immediately upon penetration, or is it usually after a little while?
It has been.
It has happened immediately. Is there anything he's doing? Are you guys changing your position? Or is there anything you've tried that's a little more comfortable for you?
No, I have noticed that different positions sometimes are
worse.
A little bit more awkward.
Yeah. Do you understand what this is?
No.
Okay, it's an irritation of your urethra, basically.
Mm.
Nothing with your bladder. It's what's coming down from the bladder that's getting irritated,
getting
traumatized.
Is it getting pushed up into the bladder?
Something is causing some irritation there.
Is
pushing
it the actual urethra, or is it the urethra? Like, here's what I'm saying. The urethra leads into the bladder, right?
Correct.
Is the urethra itself being irritated, or is the urethra being irritated in such a way that it leads back into the bladder? Is it being pushed back into the bladder or something like that?
Both things can happen. You can actually push things back in and get a urine infection, and then the bladder gets inflamed. But usually the urge to urinate is something irritating the urethra itself.
Really?
And it can be trauma, just somebody putting pressure on it. It could be him pushing bacteria in there. It's, you know, too much pressure. It's just positional.
That's why I'm a backdoor man.
And that sometimes is worse for
play it safe.
That can be
played
worse for them sometimes.
Wow!
But you got to ask him to kind of lay off.
The bad with the good, you know.
Find positions and activities that don't initiate that, and also make sure this is not an infectious process. Get regular, talk to your gynecologist or doctor about checking your urine to make sure that you aren't getting recurrent infections.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, good times.
Good times.
I mean, takes all kinds.
It takes all kinds.
Takes all kinds.
You've always said that.
Nikki Hayden is our guest tonight. He's a Grand Prix champion motorcycle racer. The real stuff. Not that crappy clunker Harley junk. Ugh, those big idiots driving around all... Five cylinders. 1,000 cc's. 220, 240 horsepower. Yeah. I'm going to do the math. I'm going to explain what that means. during that. During the
Nikki break. Does Pinsky, the Dr. Drew radio, very well.
Yeah, he does. He just gives you a look like.
Well, I'm not going to argue with him. See,
not
I don't want to correct
now.
Him. He's made a few small mistakes there, and I just, it's his show.
It's my show.
And
Nikki,
I don't
you're
come
the
in.
Guest. You correct him. You're the
I just don't want to hurt his ego because as my crew chief, I need someone full of confidence.
Yeah. You can see how fragile he is.
If I'm second-guessing myself when I'm bleeding those brakes or setting the mixture, are those bikes, are they injected now?
Fuel inject.
Yeah.
I mean, you're asking the rider. He's testing me. You're testing me. Yeah. I see what you're playing.
You see, he thought
you guys are funny.
He thought I didn't know.
I didn't know this was a test.
I got you, brother. All right, we're going to take a look. If the first round, but now time for the commercial, the oral test. Drew, hold him down. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Y'all, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Nikki Hayden is our guest tonight. He's the MotoGP Rookie of the Year last year and rides the superbikes. Yeah, fastest thing on two wheels. 200-plus mile-an-hour bikes. And the races on the straightaways, what are they? I know they vary, but what are they average speed-wise?
Average speed straight away? Probably zero to 200 and probably about 6 mile an hour or something, but I'd say the average straightaway is probably 160.
Yeah, that's peppy.
Fast enough.
Yeah, if you, if you get out of your tuck and sort of pop,
he still wants to see
that was
your
another test.
Test.
Yeah.
I know.
Two for two now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on a row.
You are.
You're going to have to make some harder questions.
All right. I might, what size discs do you run up front? We're talking about, these bikes with their tremendous power, and stopping them is becoming the tough part now. Now, the newer, the bikes now, they have anti-lock brakes in them, yes?
False.
Aha,
false. Those would be 320-millimeter carbon fiber brakes.
320, sorry, millimeter carbon fiber brakes.
That's three for three if you're keeping track now. So
exactly expect you to miss it.
Who makes those? Brembo?
Brembo it is.
Yeah, that's I got to deal with them. We'll be using Brembo exclusively when we hit the when I'm crew chief. All right, let's go talk to phone says. Let's have John ask a quick question. John?
Yeah.
You got a question for Nikki?
Yeah, I did. I race out in California. I race AFM and CCS, and I was wondering if you had any advice for somebody that's trying to a struggling up and coming racer. To break into AMA and whatnot.
I'd say it's all comes down to your crew chief.
Mm-hmm.
But
is it basically just win races?
Yeah. No, I mean seriously, it is. It's a tough level to make that next step, and I've been fortunate to have good people, and you said, I mean, results don't lie. You get the results.
You gotta
win.
I
mean, yeah, somebody, catch somebody's eye.
Obviously, John, if you win every race, it'll be a little easier transition.
How are you doing? How's he doing?
Old technology, you know.
How are you doing? So you don't, your bike isn't good enough to win.
I have a pretty old bike. I race a 97 F3. In the 600 class, I mean, it's kind of tough to compete with some of the new bikes.
Is that what you mean? You ran into some good people? People give you
good
equipment
your equipment's a big part of it. I mean, you can only override so much, but, I mean, I can see where on a 97 F3 is going to be pushing uphill.
600, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Right.
But who are you – now, you're running against guys who don't have more CCs than you, but right? I mean, you're running the same CC class with them. It's just they have newer – bikes, right?
Newer bikes, more money, better, you know, more tires, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so what would you say, Nikki? I mean, and I don't know if there is an answer to this other than winning races, but I mean, what can you do to try to impress some sponsors or to somebody other than win every race?
Well, I mean, I think people know what bike he's on. I mean, people can see that. I mean, the biggest thing I say is get lots of track time. I mean, that's the only way to improve is with lots of track time and, you know, just catch somebody's eye, make something
happen.
All
right, so it's like if somebody saw you driving or riding something that was, you know, far less superior than whatever else was out on the track and saw you sort of holding your own with a piece of antiquated equipment, it might be impressive even if you came in sixth place.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be overnight, AMA, but you just...
I think you got to beat up the bike a little.
I was going to say, get some crappy equipment to go out there.
Take a get a can of primer and a chain.
There you go.
Take a chain to it, and it's going to look like you just borrowed your sister's moped to go out there, and then next thing you know, you're sort of hanging.
Take something that is like a 94 and put an upgraded system on it, upgraded engine in there.
Yeah, true. Hey, buddy, that's crew chief type of thinking there.
The junkyards, everybody's going to be looking for 94 bikes tomorrow.
They call him the bike doctor. Myra?
Hello.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
I want to know how come every time I have phone sex with guys, it turns me on more than it does on the real thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you, how often do you have phone sex?
I say pretty often.
Who are these guys?
Just friends, different kinds of friends.
Are they people you don't know?
Some people, some of them are, but not really. Most of them I know.
Yeah, the beauty about being a woman in this world is you could just randomly dial the phone, and if a guy picked up...
He'll oblige.
You'd have about a 70% hit.
More
than 70.
You got the guy under 40.
I'm just saying, you can get that old codger that's just, no thanks, we're not buying any. You know, you got the people that are freaking out that everyone's being sold something.
In Southern California, I got to say more.
More? All right. 85%.
Yeah.
So these are all guys. These are guys you know. Have you had sex with any of these guys?
No.
Who is it you're having sex with?
Most of the guys I have sex with, I know, but they're just like friends with privileges.
Mm-hmm.
Friends with benefits.
I don't get an orgasm when I have sex with guys in person, but on the phone I do.
Mm-hmm. And how many different guys are you having sex with?
Not very many.
How many?
Maybe 5 or 4.
And is that your total number for your life so far?
Yeah, so far.
Okay,
yeah,
4.
Don't worry, the number's going up like the deficit.
What are you doing for birth control?
I don't use birth control.
Oh, okay.
You're intending to get pregnant?
I just use condoms.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So that's birth control, that's fine.
So when you do the phone sex, you masturbate?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, phone sex is a much more of a fantasy endeavor, right? Mm-hmm. And for women particularly, they don't need the visual so much. Yeah. And the sort of the emotional, experiential part of it can be more satisfying. And then maybe you're not really into these guys you're having sex with, or you're not ready to have sex with, so all your ambivalence and anxiety about being with a person, you don't have to deal with.
You got a vibrator?
No.
Oh, that's really going to change things. Especially when they put the vibrator on the phone, it's just see, you know what? Any type of phone sex I've ever attempted to have always just ends up. Here's what it always just sort of devolves into: me begging, "Hey, come on, get over here! Come on, I'm coming over." What are you wearing? No, don't worry about what I'm wearing.
Please,
I'm coming over. I'm coming over. Yeah, I mean, Drew, you're the same way, right? As a man of extreme passion.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to sit around and talk about something. Look, if I was in prison, I'd be into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But as long as I got a set of legs and some car keys, I just, like, my thing is, like, I'm coming over there. I don't want to talk about it.
And then you're bewildered when you're confused when they say, no, no, no. You're like, huh? What?
What do you mean?
What
about on the car phone on the way over? Still not wanting to talk about it?
Now, well, if I'm en route, I can talk about it. But I'm just very practical that way. I'm not into to me, the phone sex is like a discussion about food, but there'll be nothing to eat. You know, it's like we're just gonna sit around like we're trapped on some desert island. And go, you know, it'd be great now. Baby back ribs smothered in hickory sauce. Oh, man. I'll do you one better. How about a beautiful brisket beef dip in the au jus sauce? It's like, my thing is, let's go. Get in the car. We're going to eat.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, provided we can go somewhere. You got some money in your pocket? There's a Applebee's down the road. Let's go. That's my thing. Now, if we're trapped somewhere, then we can talk about. I'll give you a handy while you talk about ribs. That'll. No, I'm saying, Drew. Would you like a handy while I talk about ribs?
Last time you did that, it just wasn't the same.
Barbecue sauce all over my sleeve. It was horrible. Good pink sleeve. Here's the point. If you can have sex, you should have sex. Yeah. All right. What, her thing, yeah, fantasy.
Yeah. That's fantasy fun. And then not having to deal with the person.
Right.
And maybe she shouldn't be with these guys. Maybe she's not into these guys. Maybe she's not ready to have sex yet. Whatever it is, what's creating the anxiety, the ambivalence,
right,
isn't there when she's doing the phone sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of weird that she's doing it with lots of guys, though. It makes me a little worried about her.
But well, something's up.
Yeah.
And Myra, and by the way, Myra, I hope that's not the phone sex name. You go with Myra? So I can't whack the Myra.
She's probably got an expensive phone bill.
She's hung Myra? Up.
Oh, she hung up. Yeah. Yeah, I bet the guys are calling her. Tara?
Hello?
Tara?
Yes, Tara.
That's a good phone sex name.
Thanks. I'm 15. I want to say I love you, Adam and Dr. Drew.
Thank you.
You guys... Oh, first of all, Lord of the Rings is from England, and Tolkien wanted it to be there because England didn't have any religious folklore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it only had religious folklore, but anyway.
And so it's the center of the earth in England?
Yeah. Well, he wrote about it in The Silmarillion, which is a companion to The Lord of the Rings.
I'd like to build a time machine and go back and kill that guy.
Well, hold on a second.
I really would. He felt before all these Lord of the Rings.
He felt
and
there was
Hobbits
no religious folklore.
He felt there was
not
only religious it's such folklore a, in England.
As opposed to what?
There was only religious folklore in England. Like King Arthur was too religious, and he wanted something like other cultures had folklore. But that's
mythology. He was looking for a mythology.
He was thinking, what about the poor nerds?
Yeah.
What are they going to hang their hats on? Those nerds. You know, they wear those wind up beanies. What are they going to hang it on?
Yeah.
All right, now they got something.
But my question is, I've been a self-injurer, and I cut myself and burned myself, and now I have a bunch of scars all on my thighs, and I can't go swimming or anything anymore. And I was wondering, is there any way that I can, like, get those to fade or go away?
That's an interesting thing, because self-injurer, I've never heard.
But Tara's an extra smart self-mutilator.
Yeah, she reads a Tolkien and then burns herself with a Tipperilla.
What was the trauma that you went through growing up?
I don't think I went through any trauma.
Yeah.
How about the Lord of the Rings trilogy? Would you consider that abuse,
no,
during having to read that junk? Everyone, they're swept away.
Jesus usually Christ. It's some sort of abuse that sets up
I don't think so. I mean, I live with both my biological parents.
No one of them ever hit you?
No, they yell some a lot.
Okay, well, maybe that's the kind of that's emotional trauma. Sometimes it was really out of control.
Well, look, were you going to a therapist now?
I got drunk at a party. I got alcohol poisoning, and they put me into therapy. So yeah.
All right. Well, you probably could have used some anyway with the self-injuring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you told your therapist about that?
Yeah. Okay. But we don't really talk about it much.
Yeah, are you a virgin now?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Look, here's the thing about scars. First off, Nikki's got a couple. He say he took a spill on a motorcycle. Just make something up.
Yeah, with cigarettes are all lined up in a row.
Yeah, so you got your ex-boyfriend's initials carved out of you in keloid. Yeah. So it's a little weird. So you wear sweatpants.
Go swimming at night. Possibly.
Yeah, you go night swimming. Yeah.
And there are
full moon.
There are dermatological interventions. There's deep dermabrasions and
things to try.
I mean, you can see a dermatologist specialize in that kind of thing. You might be able to get something done there.
Yeah.
It's worthwhile. I mean, if you're not cutting now, it's something you're going to have to live with for a long time, and there might be interventions.
All right. Well, good times. Nikki Hayden, super bike racer in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's the good doctor, Dr. Drew. Nikki Hayden is our guest tonight. Nikki is the Moto Grand Prix Rookie of the Year last year. And some say he's going to win it all this year. With me as crew chief, I don't think the kid can lose. Now, is it you do with Stephen or Stefan here?
Stefan.
Stefan?
Stefan.
What's happening, Stefan?
Hey, actually, I have two questions, but my first question is for Nikki. You know, I'm a first-time caller, though, just to let you know. But, Nikki, your teammate, Valentino Rossi, he's going over to Yamaha, and I know that he was the number one champ, you know, last year. Do you think that you're going to be able to, you know, take the title from him now that he's riding Yamaha?
I mean, that's my goal for sure. I mean, it's no doubt not going to be easy, but, I mean, yeah, that's my plan. I mean, that's my goal, absolutely.
Let me tell you something. I tell Nikki, second place is as good as a loss, except for if it's one of those point accumulation things where you could actually get second throughout the entire season and still walk away with the championship, which is the situation here. So second would be good. That'd be very, very important to get second. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, did he give you some pointers, you know, on how to come up in the ranks, you know?
No, I leave all that up to my crew chief.
That's
basically,
right.
He's the guy in my corner that when I need a pointer, I go to. But no, honestly, me and Valentino, we got along great. But as far as really a lot of pointers or anything, maybe a little bit early, he let me follow him a few times, see some of the good lines and learn a bit. But for the most part, it was... I mean, no pointers.
How much of when you have a team out there, and in racing the team, sometimes there'll be little strategies, guys do a little blocking and drafting and stuff like that, but you don't really hear about it on the motorcycles that much.
No.
There's not that much you can do. You just go out and race and try to win.
Every man for themselves.
Right. And if it's your teammate, is it really any different when it comes down to it?
Just try not to knock down your teammate would be the big thing. That
right.
would cause an unhappy vibe in the pit area.
So it's like you wouldn't do quite as ballsy a maneuver if it was your teammate who you're engaging in
probably
that way.
Probably not.
All right. Stefan?
Yeah. Well, my second question actually is probably for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
And so I work with this girl at my job, and she's 16, and I'm 22.
Yeah.
And I've heard you talk about guys before, you know, that are seeing younger girls, you know, and I was wondering, you know, we have good energy and stuff, but I'm still kind of skeptical whether I should, you know, make a move or something. I mean, I could probably find someone my own age, but
we would urge you to do so.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, because
all right,
she'll be 18 in 2 years. You can think about it then, maybe. But still, then at 24, 18, that's a big age.
22.
Difference.
22 and 16 is big, big gap. And not in Europe, and certainly not in, you know, South America and Japan and places we'll be going on tour. Then it's really nothing.
You're justifying Nikki's behavior, saying it.
Yeah. That
cover up.
That's nothing.
Rider.
Yeah, we go to like Rio de Janeiro, and 22 and 16. That's really nothing. But out here in the civilized world. Big gap.
Yeah, it's just you're a different place in your life. You can't legally have sexual relationship with her. It wouldn't be good for her if you did.
Well,
it's just
here's the different place
and,
you're
and
at.
You should be able to find somebody your own age.
Yeah, the different place they're at in life is he's wanting to bang 16-year-olds. She's not wanting to bang 22-year-olds. That's the difference.
That is different.
Joe.
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah. I was in a car accident 3 weeks ago, and ever since the car accident, I haven't wanted to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend and I, we were bombing in bed together before the car accident, but once we had the accident, she still wants it, but we've only done it twice.
Well, how bad a car accident?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, we went to the ER, but I drove myself there and got some pain medication and... Same thing with her, but that's about it.
Are you still taking the pain medicine?
No. I took Vicodin for 2 days and took some Tylenol for a few days after that.
Are you feeling anxious or neurodepressed or having sleep problems?
I haven't slept good for probably the last couple months, but it's just, bad dreams.
I thought the accident, when was the accident?
3 weeks ago, the accident?
Yeah.
You haven't slept well for months?
Yeah,
He knew he was going to have an accident. So he couldn't sleep.
It's called a pre-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Well, the last couple of weeks I've been having nightmares
PPSD.
That I don't remember. And so I wake up in the middle of the night, panicked, or not knowing where I am, sit up screaming.
Whoa, stop. What did you say about forgetting? You forgot what?
I forget the dreams.
and forgets the dreams.
And you, but you've been having night terrors, but you had them before the accident?
Yeah, but I remembered them before the accident.
All right, listen.
All right, look, this is all, but those are all serious symptoms.
All right, but stop weaving the accident into it.
It may or may not have something to do with it.
Well, he got into an accident that was so insignificant that he drove, A, his car that he got in the accident into the hospital.
Yeah.
B, they gave him some painkillers and told him to hit the road. His girlfriend's fine. He took him for 2 days. He's fine. I mean, it doesn't seem like the accident is the cause of the problems.
But let's just say something is going on. You are having night terrors, and night terrors is a sign of trauma. And if you are someone who then gets themselves into another traumatic situation, you're then very prone to post-traumatic stress disorder. And so you might have sort of made a situation that was worse for you already more worse. And naturally enough, if you're depressed and anxious, and you're sort of nervous system is, let's call it off, for lack of I don't have any time to describe what actually goes on. Of course, your sex drive goes down, and your desire to have sex will be much, much less, and even your ability to have sex might be off.
All right. But you know, good times.
Look, it takes, good times.
But, you know, in motorcycles, I've had a few accidents in my day, and I can't honestly say I've ever experienced those symptoms, so that does seem strange. Leave that up to the doctor. He's the expert in the field.
You're cut out of a little different cloth than
you never
most
had a trauma
callers. Yeah,
before.
Well, you should have had one, but you haven't. We'll take a quick break, and there'll be no more accidents on my watch. We'll be right back after this. Well, that's the show. Where's the time go, Drew?
It just blows by.
Now, where does it go? I want to know where.
You better consult with your driver.
All right. Nikki Hayden, everybody. A delight. Nikki, we're going to hit the road.
Would you call them drivers or riders?
Riders.
Riders.
We're going on tour. Yeah. These guys are magicians. Yeah. Not like those NASCAR guys. Let's get drunk and point the car. All right. Best of luck to you.
To us
on the tour. We'll be going to Australia, Japan. Well, you'll be getting postcards from all over the place, Drew. It'll be great. I'll be doing it from the hotel room. It'll be great. Chicks all over
the
place.
Can't wait.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Hey, Brooke.
Yeah?
Here's the problem. Let me explain something. And I don't want to bum your high, but the future does not look bright for Brooke.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.